Welcome to the Dual Shockers Shockcast. This is episode 134. We've got a lot to talk about. E3 is right around the corner. And it's definitely a lot has gone down in the past few days since our last podcast. So it's definitely a lot we're going to be talking about. I am David Rodriguez, staff writer for the site. And with me, I'm joined by our news editor, Giuseppe Nelva.
Hello, everyone.
And our staff writer, Alyssa James.
Hey, guys.
All right. Well, before we get into all the E3 craziness, which Yaris seems to have forgotten about because he's IMing me right now telling me to go hang out with him. We're going to talk about, yeah, he's just like, hey, why don't you come over next Friday? It's like, dude, I'm going to be somewhere. Giuseppe, you've got the new releases?
Yeah. June 3, which is yesterday, I guess. Actually, mm-hmm. 2 days ago. Scrolls, new game by my Mojang. Then June 3 is still Gunpoint for the PC as well. Yesterday was Remember Me for Xbox 360, PS3, PC, and whatever. Then still yesterday, Clash of Heroes 2 for the PSN. Then Minecraft, the retail disc for the Xbox 360. Marvel Heroes for PC. Then we have Oregon Trail director's cut for the Ouya.
Someone actually Trail? Is devel- What?
Yeah. Someone is actually developing something for the Ouya. That's incredible.
I wouldn't it's Oregon think- Trail. Like, wow.
I know.
What the hell is that? I don't know. Anyway.
you never played that?
No.
It's about the traveling from the East Coast to the West Coast.
Oh yeah, I know during, what it's about. I didn't know there was a game about that.
Oh okay, yeah. And like your people would die of dysentery, and your meat would spoil, and
that,
it was very traumatic.
That sounds interesting. Not.
It was traumatizing because we all played this when we were kids. So you would like you'd put all your friends, and they'd all die. And
just, was that like some kind of terrible. Tabletop game?
No. It was on like the old Apple computers.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's the perfect game for the Wii, I guess.
It was that and Carmen San Diego, man. That was it.
Yeah.
That's my childhood.
Okay. Anyway, then there is something called Quel Memento for PSN, Limbo for PSN. That, by the way, is going to have cross buy for Vita and PS3, from what I heard. Earth Defense Force Insect Armageddon for the PSN, release of course. Then there is Alfa Romeo Racing Italiano, PS2 classic Italian game.
All right,
right. an Italian game that I never heard about. By the way, what the hell is this?
Oh, Jesus, where's it been?
I don't know. Ultimate Board Game Collection, PS2 Classics again. Very interesting. This is actually interesting. Taurus Friend Network for the PS Vita, which is actually the first time I think the Japanese mascot for the PlayStation, the white cat Toro, appears on a Western release, I think. Yeah, you know that they have this Toro cat and Kuroka. They're quite cute. I'm actually downloading it now. Paint Park Plus for the PSN, for the PS Vita. And then there is Skyrim Legendary Edition for PC, Xbox 360, and PS3, which is basically the game with all the DLC.
All the DLC, yeah.
State of Decay for Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
Sword of Rapier for the PSN. I think it's an independent game or something. And Spelunker for the Wii U. Wow.
Wow, Wii U games. Nice.
Wow. One Wii U game, and that's Spelunker, which is obviously the old Spelunker by Brotherbound, released on the classics.
That's all the new releases?
That's all to it, yeah.
Well, I'm tempted by Oregon Trail, but I'm going to go with Remember Me.
I'm going with Clash of Heroes 2, definitely. And Clash of Heroes were real nice.
Alright. Alyssa?
And basically, you stole my answer, David.
Oh, that's fine. We can double up on it. It's alright. Wait, did I steal Oregon Trail or Remember Me? Because now
no,
I'm not sure.
I actually Oregon Trail, and then I was thinking as a second, Remember Me.
Oh, okay, all right. Flip-flopping.
YouTube stock. Seriously.
I mean, look, remember me, it's getting some decent reviews. It's not like Game of the Year.
What did Chad give it? 7?
He gave it a 7. It's getting mostly 7s across the board, which I mean, it's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's just like, it's not great. Yeah, but I'll definitely, actually, I just got it in the mail today.
It's mediocre. I get it.
Yeah, you know. I think it's it probably caters to certain tastes. Because like for me, since I'm a huge science fiction fan, I'm definitely gonna get into it.
Yeah.
But you know, probably one of those games where it's gonna be love hate. But enough about that game. We have a giant kind of okay. Who's playing music in the background?
No, that's just my PSP. Don't let me turn it down.
I mean, it's like nice. It's nice background music, but I'm like.
Oh.
It's like an elevator. Okay, so we've got.
It's not an elevator. Have you ever been on an elevator, Daniel?
Of course. I'm just saying, like, from my perspective, it was just like this really kind of nice melody, very cheerful. It's like I can just picture myself just standing in an elevator.
Cheerful? Is that cheerful? Your idea of cheerful is kind of weird.
Saying what I heard. You know what? When you listen,
is like Marilyn Manson. Your idea of cheerful as well.
Oh my god!
Yeah. Look, when you hear the recording, you're gonna hear it. It sounded really, really nice and pleasant.
Okay.
So we have the biggest E3 ever next week, and exactly. So I'm gonna say, like, let's try and be a little more positive this week. Try to be like go against our own instincts and try and be, you know, optimistic. And let's start exactly.
Yeah.
So the first one we're going to start with is Microsoft. And if you listened last week, we went in on Microsoft. So I'm going to ask both of you, like, realistically, as to the best of your ability, what could they possibly do to turn things around at E3 with their conference?
I let Elisa begin.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Personally, for me, I would honestly like to see like more new IPs because, you know, the problem too with Microsoft, they say like, oh, it's going to be about the games. Well, what games? Like, I don't want to just see Halo 5, the Call of Duty, Ghost, whatever, and then that's like it, and then like a bunch of other sequels. Like, I want to see like new stuff, really original stuff, to see that they're taking that $1 billion they're putting in and actually investing it. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's optimistic, but that's what I would really hope to see, and I would really be pleased with Microsoft if they could do something like that.
Yeah, the only two that I've the one that I know of is Rise, and apparently that's for Xbox One now. And that's not just a Kinect game. The other one is Quantum Break, which just looks... I mean, we talked about it last week. It just looks a little silly.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, someone...
Actually, Rise is a Kinect game. Well, it's a hybrid, says controller enhanced by Kinect.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
That's right there on the homepage. So, yeah, it's probably going to be some gesture crap in the middle.
Yeah.
it's a fight game, so it's a fighting game. Okay. So yeah.
I mean the list. I mean, there was a list of games that came out from a, I don't know, the source was like meh. It was like a friend of a friend who apparently had this list of games that Microsoft's going to be talking about. And if there's any validity to it, I mean, they're all sequels, so there's not much we can see in lieu of new IPs.
Yeah. Like, honestly, you know, if they just surprise me suddenly, but yeah, I'm not, I don't have my hopes up for that.
Yeah. No, I mean...
Yeah, there was a rumor that they were going to have Fallout 4 exclusive or something like that, but I seriously doubt it.
Yeah, me too. That'd be cool, but...
No, that wouldn't be cool at all. It would be an exclusive. Like, that's what would be stupid
as
hell.
Right. I want it to be announced, but yeah, not it's exclusive. You're right.
Like that's the kind of game that it's not really not cool. It's an exclusive because the game before that came out on all platforms, so it'd be absolutely stupid for it to be exclusive. Like,
it's
screwing up everyone else.
What do you think they should do, Giuseppe? How can they possibly?
Well, basically, besides coming out on the stage
and saying they're
kneeling
sorry,
down,
yeah,
he's saying, "I'm sorry, we have been completely stupid. Please forgive us. We're going to completely scrap the TV part from the console, and we're going to spend money only on games." Because that's pretty much what they should do to actually erase that debacle. Mm-hmm. Well, they could do what I suggested in my latest article. They could come out and announce that they were going to release two versions of the box, of the X-Bone. Well, they can release the X-Bone, which is the one with the TV and all the crap that we don't want. And then we can release the actual Xbox One, which would be a lovely console, a lovely gaming console stripped of all the TV crap without Kinect.
Yeah,
without Skype, without all the crap, only games. That a pure gaming console, and that would be awesome. Of course, costing a lot less.
Yeah,
because the Kinect crap and all the TV crap is a cost. So remove that, and obviously you get a less costly console. If they did that, give. I don't understand why they didn't think about that, because it's always a good thing to provide your customers with options.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No?
So why not just, you know, give people options? If I want the TV, I can buy the TV, the big version, you know, with everything, with the whole, you know, Kinect TV and voice recognition and everything else, and that's great, you know. People want it, get it. People that don't want it spend less and get the stripped down version. Like the PS Vita got the, you know, the Wi-Fi version and the 3G version for the people that didn't want 3G, no?
And they didn't want AT&T either.
because honestly, you know, honestly, Kinect is going to have a price. It's going to have a price tag. It's going to have a cost. I don't want Kinect, so why should I pay for it? No, and this is my big problem. This is my big problem. My big problem is that they are trying to force me to use it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to use it. And since it's going to be an integrated part of the console, well, it's not attached to the console, but it comes with the console. It's an excuse for having every game that needs to use Kinect. Mm. That's a problem for me because I don't have the space for it. I don't want to be to dance around like an idiot while I play a game.
Swipe in the air, you smack your cat off the table all of a sudden.
And I don't want to pay for it.
I wonder. Oh, okay. Giuseppe gave himself a round of applause. No, that was good. I really do agree with you, Giuseppe, and I think also like a big problem with these guys at their last thing, and we're like trashing them again. But it's just like it's just the presentation that they made it seem like the TV thing is so integral to the experience, and it's like that you're not catering to gamers. I don't know. It's like if they're gonna show a bunch of sequels at their presentation, they're definitely gonna get the allure of some people. But if they're offered on the PS4, it's kind of wasted.
To be honest,
what are they gonna do? Just say we're gonna get exclusive DLC? I honestly don't think people really give a fuck about that.
Yeah.
To be completely honest, though, I don't have problems with the sequels. You know,
mm-hmm.
Everyone hates sequels, but I don't.
I'm not saying I hate them either. I'm just saying, you know, if they're offered on another system,
that's the only thing they're offering. What's the point?
Yeah. Oh yeah, but you know, in the end, sequels are games. I'd be okay with you know a lot of games, even if they are sequels. Like getting Forza 5. Mm-hmm. I'm great with Forza 5. I love Forza, and I wanted to get a sequel. You know,
yeah. Of course.
Problem is that you know the problem is not that they're gonna have games, or we know they're gonna have games. We know they're gonna have a lot of games. Mm-hmm. The problem is that's not going to solve the problem.
No, it's not.
The problem is that at a very crucial moment in which they had to present the console for the first time, they didn't show games. They showed art as the stupid TV,
yeah.
And that is cannot be canceled. Mm-hmm. That cannot be erased.
Try to say, like, oh, you know, that was just the presentation. Wait till E3. So then what was the presentation?
My yes, that was the crucial moment when you first show something. It was an obvious message. The message is this is something that does everything. Because, you know, since PlayStation had it only does everything, they had to one-up them. You know?
Exactly.
The only problem is that PlayStation, yeah, it did kind of everything, but it did mostly games. Yeah. Well, this doesn't try to do that, and that's a problem. So, yeah, I'm not sure. I just know that the clock is ticking.
he had his finger on the button. He needed a way to work that in. Yeah, no, I'm gonna be there next week in the audience, and we'll see.
Laugh,
huh?
Laugh and jeer.
Yeah, yeah. Or you know, we're all gonna start throwing up if it's that bad again.
You can always bring, you know, those little pillows that you use in the plane.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That they go around your neck.
Does Virgin offer those? Because this is my first time taking Virgin, so I don't know.
I don't know. You can buy one at the airport. Normally, they sell them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, at least it will sustain your neck while you sleep.
Yeah.
You can actually pretend you're paying attention. You put up some... some shades on.
Collapse onto my shades in a dark room. I can collapse on my laptop too. You know.
Yeah, work. That's why you have those you know that those little pillow that sustain that supports your head.
Yeah.
It's made on purpose. You can say that you have problems on your neck, so you need to. You need
yeah, I just go to sleep
support.
On the guy next to me, just like put my head on his shoulder, like yeah. Dude.
Well, anyway,
you're hating this as much as I am, right? Yeah, look, but Killer Instinct, guys. Did either of you play that? Killer Instinct?
Yeah, I did. I actually did it at the arcade long times ago. I didn't even have a console back then.
I never played that game, so.
But it was pretty mediocre. I mean, it never struck me as something incredible. I mean, at the time we had Tekken and all, like, that was much better.
Tekken Tag 2, definitely. That's like the first fighting game I've really been invested in a long time.
I remember that, you know, at that time when we, I used to go a lot to a seaside resort, and there was this arcade center that was basically the place where every young person around there kind of went at the evening. I was like 14 or something like that, you know. So you know, the older guys went to the disco, while the younger guys went to this arcade center. And there was like Tekken. I don't remember if it probably was Tekken 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Killer Instinct. And then there was what was the
Mortal
other
Kombat?
One? No, it was World Heroes 2.
Oh, okay.
And everyone was playing Tekken and World Heroes 2, and Killer Instinct was there alone by itself. I know that Killer Instinct has some kind of a cult following.
It does, because the... I mean, the reason why I brought it up...
I don't understand why.
No, it definitely has a cult following. The reason why I brought it up is because they said that Rare is going to be bringing back an IP that they're known for. And so everyone started fapping to Killer Instinct. And
why? I mean, that game really sounded looking mediocre to me. It didn't even have that great of an IP.
I was all about, back then I was all about Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter. So, Killer Instinct for me is like, you know, meh.
Yeah, it kind of had like those photorealistic graphics.
It looked like claymation.
Well, an attempt to photo.
It looked
sorry?
Like claymation to me. I mean, this is you know going off my memory from years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, it was kind of an attempt to photorealism, very very badly done. Like kind of like Mortal Kombat, but worse.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I don't know. People really liked it. I mean, people really like it on the internet. I don't know why. Yeah. I can't understand. Maybe it's just me missing the point. I mean, I was 14, so you know, and I was looking at totally other kind of games, you know. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Honestly,
that's about the only game there on that list that came out. It's probably the only game there that I see that's like really.
Yeah, the only game I was playing at the time on that place was Time Crisis 2, and because it let me look cool with the girls. So. What, with the gun and everything?
Yeah, you holster it and everything.
Oh, man.
I was 14. What do you expect?
No, I don't blame you.
The girls were 14, too. I mean,
I used to fucking play the Star Wars arcade game on one credit, and I thought I was a badass. Love that game.
They had Daytona USA as well.
Oh, yeah.
It was great.
We had an arcade here in New York called Dave and Buster's, and it was like they had a whole line about a dozen of these things, and you fill that up, oh, forget it. It's craziness.
Yeah, it was awesome. When arcades still existed,
yeah,
I missed them. Honestly, I really missed them. It was a way to play games, you know, with other people. The one that was actually the most successful was an old game, The King of Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
It was based on D&D. It was basically an horizontal beat 'em up. It was great. It was awesome.
Wait, that's not the one that Capcom is bringing back, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not one of those, but I think it's still by Capcom. Or it's basically the same genre. But I'm not sure if it's by Capcom or not.
Yeah, they're bringing back two of them. But I got to play one. It was a lot of fucking fun. That was really fun.
Yeah, which is why I'm waiting for Dragon's Crown, which is basically the same genre, just, you know, with new, and yeah, it was Capcom. It was basically the first of of that line. It didn't even have the official Dungeons and Dragons license back then. But yeah, basically Dragon's Crown is that kind of game with new graphics and a lot of tits. What's not to love?
You see that, Microsoft? We spent like 15 minutes talking about games on fucking TV. Gonna get your shit together next week.
Like arcade games from 15 years ago, actually more, 20 years ago. Anyway.
I mean, look, if whoever shows Mirror's Edge 2 first, I'm just going to run the streets naked. I told you that already. Whether it's EA or Microsoft.
Yeah,
like,
I'm not going to care, honestly.
Oh, no, it's fine. There's only about 2 million of us that are really going to care, and that's fine by me.
Honestly, I don't think the whole number of people about it are going to care about the sequel.
No, we probably lost. We probably lost some, so maybe like a million. But hey, look.
I mean, Mirror's Edge 2 was interesting, but it was really too constricted. Well, Mirror's Edge 1, sorry.
Yeah.
It was like very, very, very linear.
I understand that. I totally do. There was some things.
A red step. Jump on the red. Look, follow the red. No. Basically, it was follow
the only thing was, down. I found something like there was just some thematic shit about that I totally like went with. And
the team was nice. The design was great, and everything.
I fucking love the music too.
The whole gameplay was like Assassin's Creed on a hallway, first person.
Yeah.
No, but in a hallway, from start to finish.
I had problems with the gameplay too, but it's one of those games where it just really.
People complain about Final Fantasy XIII being linear, but I don't think anything can be more linear than Mirror's Edge.
Oh boy!
Well, follow the red thingy.
It's a can of worms
all the time.
Can of worms.
Are you telling me it wasn't linear?
I'll say that they're both linear. As for one being more linear than the other, well, it's also because these are different types of games. So it may have been more appropriate for Mirror's Edge to be a linear game as opposed to Final Fantasy, which is traditionally a non-linear series.
Really? Is it?
I'm just saying.
I don't know. I've never Final Fantasy never being linear.
I mean, like I remember the first linear one for me was 10. I know that one was pretty straightforward.
Yeah, and everyone loved 10.
Oh, I know. I love 10 too. The first one I played though was 8, and that one I didn't really get the impression it was linear because the first thing you do is you're running around the whole fucking continent.
Yeah, that one opened up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I remember that.
9 is just a blur for me. I don't know what was going on when I played that one.
9 wasn't bad.
I'm not saying it's bad. I just don't remember.
I didn't like the character design of 9. I don't know that kind of semi-deformed character design. Really didn't like it. Everyone loves it, but I didn't.
Yeah.
Well, it's not super deformed like 7, for instance.
Yeah.
But it's not realistic. It's kind of in the middle between realistic and, you know, people are a little fatty.
Big
and,
head, little arms,
you know,
yeah.
Exactly, but they're not really super deformed.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird, and I didn't really like it. Everyone loves it, and, you know, to each their own. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I prefer the realistic style that had with that they had with 8 or 13, 12, 10, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Anyway, we totally digressed. Like we couldn't digress. That's how interesting. That's how interesting Xbox One is at the moment.
We went from Killer Instinct to Final Fantasy. That was nice. That was nice.
Yeah, but you know, if they bring back Killer Instinct, I'd play it just to see what if.
I'd like to see what they're doing first, because there's a lot of fighters out there today, and there's a lot more that's been done with. Like fighters have really, I think, kind of hit their ceiling as to what they can do, like what's new. So what could they possibly do with Killer Instinct aside from just sell it on the name alone? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, honestly, with my favorite fighters are Bioarc System Works right now. Not even Capcom is at their level. Mm-hmm. So they're coming out with the new Guilty Gear, and I'm waiting for that. I know Ken is waiting for that as well, but, you know, and with the whole Persona 4 fighter as well, you know.
I still gotta play that. Yeah, that looks really good.
Yeah, they pretty much did whatever could be done with the fighter, according to me. Even better than the new Street Fighter, new tech, and whatnot.
Yeah,
pretty much.
But that, like,
even because mostly the fighters for Capcom right now are kind of an excuse to sell costumes and whatnot.
Yeah.
No, they're more an excuse to sell costumes.
Set on the disc. Gotcha.
Yep. Well,
in the end, this is what I was talking about. Like, this whole conversation has eventually come full circle, and like that's the point I was getting at. A game like Mirror's Edge 2, as much as I'd love to see it, there are games that have come and gone that have kind of done what Mirror's Edge, the first game, was going for, which was 5 years ago. Beyond Good and Evil 2, another rumored game. Which I highly doubt is going to be shown, but again, it's like, you know, how many people are left that are really interested in that?
Well, if they made Mirror's Edge to an actual, you know, open world game, which is what Mirror's Edge 1 should have been, maybe it'd be interesting.
Yeah.
You know,
no, go ahead.
That's a good concept. I mean, the whole parkour concept brought in an open world.
As
gameplay, then it's interesting.
As good as that,
if you do it linear,
that's what I'm worried about. Because as good as that concept sounds, Giuseppe, with DICE working on it, they're like, they probably made this game like in between two Battlefields. I don't know how much they really put into it. So, but you know, this is one of those things I gotta wait until we actually see it. But I'm gonna keep my hopes low.
You think they're just cashing on the name?
I think it's like people have been screaming for this game for a while, but it's like how much time could they possibly have devoted to it in between Battlefield 3 and Battlefield 4? You know? How many people do they have working over there that could make these two games?
Well, it depends how big the team is, and you know, there is no limit to how many people you can hire.
No, it's true. Especially so if you're EA, you just throw money at it.
Yeah.
And then...
I mean... If it's like Mirror's Edge 1, which is all linear, I mean, they could have needed like 5 people doing
it. Exactly. Oh. The thing is, the rumor was that the sequel first had only a small team working on it. So I don't know what the fuck is going on with this thing.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know how many people would be interested in it at the moment. If it's an exclusive, you know, exclusives always get a little more attention because they are exclusive. And because the fanboys of a console, you know, told it like it's the second coming of Christ.
Well, if they announce...
Because it's exclusive.
That's right, yeah. Halo 5 was on that list too, but I think they're confusing that with that new Halo that was announced today for Windows 8, Spartan Assault. I don't even know what that is. But
it's basically a top-down, third-person shooter. It looks really... average.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, there was nothing that jumped out at me in that trailer.
Meh.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you got three other shooters on this list: Rainbow Six Patriots, Brothers in Arms, and Homefront 2. Again, it's like more shooters.
Yeah, like
that sounds strange that it would be made exclusive unless
unless
Microsoft.
These aren't exclusives. It's just like what they're gonna show. Obviously Sony and Microsoft will probably show a couple of the same games like they did last year.
Because it doesn't make sense to for Microsoft to actually pay people to bring Homefront 2.
Yeah. No, there's no way.
I mean, Homefront went so badly that it doesn't even make sense.
The other game that's on the list, the last one, is Crackdown 3. I don't know, did you guys play the first two? Because I definitely did not.
Yeah, nothing to do great, honestly.
See, this is what I'm talking about. It's like... I don't know.
The thing is, I know a lot of people like the series, but like it's been so long. So, you know, like this issue with Mirror's Edge and whatever, how many people are really going to play it now?
It feels like Saints Row, especially the third game, has picked up a lot of those Crackdown fans. Because Crackdown...
I feel like...
Crackdown, I've seen the game. It looks... I mean, look, if I'm wrong, tell me in the comments. I'm sorry. I'm just saying, like, it looks like a lot like Saints Row the Third. I'm pretty sure that craziness about it, you know, probably picked up some more fans. Well, let's hope Microsoft can surprise us next week. Listen to what Giuseppe said and just come out groveling, crying, apologize, and then maybe we can move on. And you know,
I honestly wouldn't even require that. I think it's separate.
Just the crying, but no groveling. You'll take the crying, but no groveling, right?
No, oh, okay. just give me a separate console. Oh, okay. No Kinect. No TV, no anything that's not dedicated to playing games.
So it's,
you can put Netflix on it, just software.
Call it Xbox the real one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's perfect. Xbox the real. Well, you heard it here first.
Yeah.
this definitely requires an applause.
All right, so we got two big companies to go through first. I had Nintendo on the list, but I want to go to Sony first, because the
you want to leave the worst for last.
Yeah. Oh, it's not even that, because obviously these two are going to be fighting each other. And the truth of the matter is that Sony right now is arguably, I'm not saying it's fact, arguably is in the driver's seat going into next gen, into the holiday season. So I want to talk about, like, because we've been pretty positive about Sony, so. I'm just curious, how could they fuck this up?
By not showing games, which they are not going to do. So, which they're not going to do. So it's a moot point. Sony, you know, Sony has an advantage. They screwed up last generation. Mm-hmm. So when you screw up before, you try to make it up after.
Yeah.
So that's a point that they have in their pocket. Because, you know, the last generation, they tried to be intellectual. They tried to sell... You remember those advertisements of the PS3 that were, like, completely crazy?
The system was a labyrinth for developers to work on. I remember that.
Yeah,
but I mean, they basically have been trying to do everything right this time around. So I seriously doubt they're going to screw up. It's basically... I won't say it impossible... But they may not win E3, because I never talk about winning E3, because that is stupid anyway. But in any case, they may not even be the ones with the biggest conference, but they can't really screw it up, because the only way that they could screw it up would be not to show any interesting games, which I don't think that's a possibility. I mean, show me. What the Freedom Wars for PS Vita? I mean, I'd be happy already.
God, that game makes me want to buy a Vita. I mean, holy shit!
What, you still didn't?
I don't have a Vita. No, I haven't done handheld gaming in such a long time. But there's more games coming out for the Vita that are making me really want to buy it. And Freedom Wars.
Yeah, they announced another today from the ones they made Unchained Blade, and that looks like another good JRPG.
Yeah, they're killing it right now.
And the funny thing is that a lot of new stuff comes from, you know, small companies like Exceed, Atlus, and Nice America, and you know, those are great games that are not in any other console.
Definitely,
which is awesome. Though anyway, yeah, I don't think they can screw up. Yeah. Honestly,
it's like
they may not, you know, they may not do an explosive E3. I mean, depending on what
they
show.
They don't have to at this point. Microsoft kind of handed it to them. All they have to do is show like a good price, the stupid box, a release date, and maybe drop a couple more games, you know, like Uncharted 4.
Michael Pachter actually said that the PS3 is going to cost $349.
The PS4, you mean?
Which is what I told you like 2-3 podcasts ago, and everyone told, no, it's impossible, too cheap.
No, well, I didn't say that. I definitely think the range 350 to 4 is like a good, even, fair range.
Yeah. I'm actually wondering if the Xbox One is going to cost more, because that's the new Kinect. That thing can't come cheap.
Well, the PS4 comes with a Kinect-esque device as well.
Yeah, but that costs a lot less because it doesn't have any chip inside. That's just a webcam.
Oh, okay.
A very advanced webcam, but it doesn't
respond to motion or any of that shit.
Oh, yeah, okay. The motion tracking is done via the light thingy that's on the controller.
Yeah.
So that's a lot cheaper from what the Digital Foundry did a calculation of the material cost for the PS4 and the Xbox One. Mm-hmm. And like the PS4 came out at about 200 and something, while the Xbox One thing came out at 300 and something. So unless Microsoft is willing to lose money, I am actually thinking that the PS4 is gonna cost less, which is going to be a new thing. Because the PS3 has always been the most costly console in the market.
Yeah. It's gonna be interesting to see what Sony does, what the prices are going to be, how this all shapes up after next week.
They said they were going to try and cater to people of different monetary condition, you know? So, yeah, I've always thought from when I heard that, I always thought they were going to shoot as low as possible with pricing.
That'd be interesting to see.
Which is the only thing that they really, really need to do right. Because if they don't start with a too high price, they're really going to have an advantage.
This is their E3. As far as I'm concerned personally, this is Sony's E3. Quote unquote to win. I don't really engage in those who won discussions, but if you want to go down that road, it's like this really is theirs to dominate. Alyssa, how can Sony fuck this up? In your opinion,
I think how I forgot who said it, but if you know the games that they show off aren't very interesting, if you know even if the games are decent, but if the actual presentation is just really boring and poorly paced, yeah, pretty much like how you know the last E3 or so was like, and that other presentation they did a while.
Yeah, no,
like 2 hours of just. Snooze fest.
Last E3, Sony's wasn't that bad. It was they showed Assassin's Creed 3, and they showed Last of Us, whatever. And they got
to, quite a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, it was when they got to Wonderbook for like half an hour.
Yeah.
That, oh my, you could literally hear a pin drop in that arena. Like, that was terrible.
Yeah, but you know, Wonderbook is, I always say that Wonderbook isn't that bad. I mean, it's not for us, but it's still a game at least.
Does it sell though? Yeah. Like, honestly, I don't know. Does it sell?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. But if it has like the J.K. Rowling on board, probably selling some. But the problem is that it may not be for us. But that's still a game.
No,
I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
I'm okay with something that's still a game.
Like, what the heck? Well, they were just stretching it out.
I just thought it got way too much time. Especially, it didn't work at one point.
Yeah!
What was the drum for?
Nothing.
I just
clicked.
There was at one point where it wasn't even working properly, and I honestly turned to my row, and I'm like, is anyone else uncomfortable right now? Because you just started getting douche chills at that point. It's like, ugh.
Oh, man. Also, what I was thinking, too, the only other way they could mess up E3 is obviously the price point. Like, I know somebody was saying about the $350. I would love it for it to be at that price. Honestly, and I know this sounds a little negative, but
it's all about being negative. I'm actually encouraging you to be negative. It's fine.
Because I know Sony doesn't want to sell it at a loss, right?
It's not going to be at a loss.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's the case. I don't know. It'd probably be around 400, maybe 450. No. That's what I'm thinking. Like, realistically. I mean, it'd be great.
I mean, Digital Foundry is pretty much the only site that has any credibility for this kind of technical stuff.
Well, of course.
They say that they are going to spend the cost for making a PS4 is going to be about $250. So,
right.
So they can afford selling it at $350 with
they
no
could, problem. Yeah, but you know, I'm still a little, because a lot of the time they still like to inflate it a little. You know how they get.
No.
They'll inflate it. No, people on eBay will inflate that shit when they buy like three of them. Definitely.
I know. Well, that.
That's definitely not
solid. No. I know.
I mean, like,
they did it with the PS3, but with the PS Vita, definitely didn't inflate the price.
Not.
Right.
I didn't even know the PS3 was out when it came out. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, it's okay. I mean, when I said they, I just mean digital devices in general. But I mean, I guess you're right, because the Vita didn't inflate it that much. But I just want to actually wait until E3 to see it at $350. I don't want to get my hopes up for that yet, and then it's more expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. There's not much else going on. I mean, like I said, I haven't really read that much from Sony. There was a rumor.
Did they say anything new?
Huh?
They didn't say anything new lately. They are waiting for E3.
There is a rumor, not perpetrated by Sony, obviously. On the E3 website, if you check on Sony's booth information, they have The Last Guardian there.
They already denied that.
Yeah, I was gonna say like that. That definitely reminded me of it was last year when they came out with a list of games are being shown. I think like under Valve it had Half-Life 3 and like Portal 3, and like right away they said no, that's bullshit.
The E3 side list Grand Theft Auto 5 for PC when it's never been listed for PC so far. So yeah, I'm going to call bullshit on them.
Yeah.
Well, I would love it to be on PC. I mean, I think Rockstar is absolutely bonkers and idiotic not to release Grand Theft Auto 5 on PC.
Yeah.
That's really stupid. Yeah. Like beyond imagination.
No, I'm pretty sure it's gonna come out. The rest came out on PC.
Yeah, but why later?
That I don't know.
I mean, people were already angry that they release Grand Theft Auto 4 on PC later. Mm-hmm. They could have taken the hint. I don't know.
Do you think it's just, you know, in terms of the development time, the size of the team, the size of these
games? I just know that they swim on Rockstar swims in money, so they could increase the team if it's too small.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's... They've been seriously like really neglecting the PC user base, and that's something I can't really endorse.
I do think there's a bit more nuances to it than just, you know, hire more people. I mean,
everyone else manages to release games on PC at the same time.
No, yeah.
So why?
But not every game is GTA 4 or GTA 5. I mean, GTA 5 is.
And what's GTA 5 that other games that don't have?
Well, that we're gonna have to wait and see. But
like from what I saw, it's a game made with an old engine, and that isn't pretty special
is old,
in many
but
ways.
They really have done a lot more. I mean, if you look at the trailers for GTA 4 and GTA 5, there is a big difference between the two. Size of the world, the three different characters. And Rockstar themselves, they have a reputation for, you know, being borderline perfectionists with their stuff. So
yeah,
I can totally understand.
I mean,
I can totally understand that they wouldn't want to expand their team too much, have too many too many wheels turning at the same time, because that's when when things fuck up. You have too many people working on
So you neglect the whole user base for that. Good idea.
Not neglect them, but there's also something called patience.
That's neglecting.
Okay, Giuseppe.
That's what you call neglecting. Oh yeah, we're giving the game to everyone else, but not to you.
Knight is taking it personal. Not taking it personal.
I have all three consoles. If I really wanted, I could buy the PS3 or 360.
No, but when you said not to you, it's like we want to make a game, and we want to make it good for all platforms. So something's got to get put. The thing is, it's either I'm not gonna claim to know what's going on behind the doors of Rockstar, but it's possible that they have to make a decision. Make it for the two consoles or make it for PC, first.
Why?
I don't know.
I mean, why?
I know their reputation. Like I said,
I know that, Sleeping Dogs was great, and it's pretty much the same kind of game, and it came out on PS3, 360, and PC at the same time. Mm-hmm. No problem. You can say the same about, about pretty much every open world game out there.
Yakuza
is an exclusive. That's a different thing. that's a completely different thing, and that's a Japanese game in Japan, Xbox 360 and PC aren't that big.
Yes.
But the problem is, like, if you look at pull out any kind of open world game, and that's pretty much comes out at the same time on PC as well.
Cause?
Yeah.
I never played it, but
it came out on PC as well.
I mean, look, well,
Just Go is an old game.
It's
anyway.
An interesting question to ask. I think this happened with the other games too. Like I said, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised though if
It happened with Grand Theft Auto 4 as well, and people were angry.
No, I'm saying it happened before. I think it happened as far back as 3, and Vice City and the others. It took a while for them to make it to PC as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
just look at the simple fact that those. I don't want to be offensive, honestly, mm-hmm. but. I'm trying to. They didn't release Red Dead Redemption on PC at all.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
And honestly, I can't even start to describe how stupid that is.
That's a good fucking game too. That's a really good game.
Yeah, and honestly, that kind of game would look and play better on PC, because PC is a lot more powerful for open world game than a PS3 or 360. There is no doubt about that.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. Which, since they didn't release Red Dead Redemption at all, and that's basically their latest big game. The problem is Grand Theft Auto 5 actually going to come out on PC at all?
I think if they want to make money, yeah.
Well, you could say the same about Red Dead Redemption. Though.
Yes, but I mean, Grand Theft Auto 5 obviously is going to be a much bigger draw than Red Dead.
I'm not sure. Red Dead Redemption sold like 10 million copies or something like that. It's not small.
GTA 5 is going to double that. Watch.
Yeah, it's going to double that. But 10 million copies are not small. I am pretty sure that Red Dead Redemption on PC would have sold at least a couple of millions.
Oh, no, of course. I agree. Of course.
So, I'm not that sure. People are saying, Grand Theft Auto 4 is going to come out on PC later.
Five.
I'm not too sure, I'm not too sure. And if it isn't, who's going to stop me to go there with a flamethrower?
Not me.
If you want to pay for the plane ticket,
Well, honestly,
you're good luck getting a flamethrower on an airplane.
To be completely honest, there is one thing that makes it a little better for me, I always enjoyed the gameplay of Grand Theft Auto games, but I really always despise the stories and the characters.
Oh, okay.
So, right.
All right.
So I can survive without it.
We don't have enough time for this, because I'm turning red
this
right now.
This time they have three main protagonists.
Right, that's
okay. They have three main characters this time: maybe they're gonna have one that's actually smart.
One more thing. All right, you know, I'm gonna get one word, and then you get the last word because we have to talk about Nintendo. We have like 10 minutes. Okay. All I'm gonna say is Tommy motherfucking Vercetti. Now you go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. And
I'm just that. I'm sorry, Ray Liotta.
Was it smart?
Huh?
Yeah, because having Ray Liotta as a voice actor actually makes his mark.
Well, no, I'm not likable. Well, no, it made him likable because I fucking love Ray Liotta. That's all. But no, you can get your last word. It's fine. We need a GTA cast understand. Eventually. That's all.
I mean, with Nico fucking Bellic, that was the biggest moron to ever be the protagonist of a video game. Honestly, every time that guy actually talked, I was like, my hand and my face were attracted by some irresistible gravitational magnetic attraction. Yeah, it was like, boom! Every time he opened that stupid mouth of his.
That's how I felt about his cousin.
Well, they were pretty evenly
related,
matched.
Yeah.
Yeah, that there is a reason why they were related. I mean, I'm guessing I liked a little more the protagonist of the Ballad of Gay Tony. Little more. Mm-hmm. Like, very, very little. The protagonist of the other one, what was the one with the bikers?
The Lost and the Damned. I forgot the name of the
thing. That one was even worse than Nico Bellic, honestly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that did you play
it? I
haven't
played the DLC. I just played the main game.
Okay, that's a good thing. Well, the Ballad of Gay Tony is actually kind of decent.
Okay.
Just because the characters were at least comical. Oh. They had a little bit of humor in that. We're still stupid, but they had a little bit of humor in them. Anyway, let's move on.
Nintendo. We can also. Oh, wait, no.
Play
the laugh track first. That's like that. That was the perfect time.
Oh, really? Let's redo it, please.
Oh, okay. We're going to redo. All right.
Second take.
Nintendo. So their thing. Oh, actually, okay. One of our editors, our features editor, Masood House, he couldn't join us. This is what he had to say. I'm just going to let him. I'm going to read his piece before we get into it. On Nintendo mm-hmm. specifically, maybe a smart approach, referring to their Nintendo's thing where they're having Best Buys have Wii U's with the new games in them, like 110 locations. According to Masood, maybe a smart approach. Everyone's reading about the PS4 and Xbox One. They're putting it in people's hands. Whether it's too little, too late is up for debate. Perhaps they should have been doing this all along. But what will they show? Most importantly, the message they're sending to the hapless consumers is... Motherfucker, I lost my space.
Good job.
Yeah, I know. It's my fucking phone. Hey, we care about you more because we're here in a Best Buy showing you stuff, not in L.A. behind closed doors with journalists. And then he said...
Yeah, and you know who is going to care about
well,
that?
Well, no, but this is what he said. He said, is that enough? Shrugs.
He's like, yeah, I mean, no one is going to care.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the usual people that go at Best Buy, most gamers will actually be attached to their computer watching the conferences at E3, because that's what they do. And, you know, at Best Buy, you'll find the mommies, the kids, trying the console and trying the games, and they won't actually even realize that it's something that's not been released yet.
Yeah.
They're probably just going to think they are, you know, the usual demo console. They're going to go to the cashier and ask, this game, I want to buy it. It's not there. Well, I want this Mario game, mommy. Can you buy it for me? Oh, yeah, I'm going to buy it. And then he goes to the cashier. Oh, I want the new Mario game. Oh, yeah, I don't know when it comes out.
And I can't even argue with that because some of the Best Buy employees that I've met, and look, if you're a Best Buy employee, you listen to the Shotcast, I'm sure you're a wonderful individual. But some of the people that work there are like just. You ask them questions, they stare into blank space.
It's not even their fault because most of the games that are going to show it at E3 or during E3 because they're not going to be. Well, they're also going to be at E3.
Yeah.
They're probably not going to know when they're going to come out yet.
Yeah. And, like, what are they going to show? We know they're showing Smash Brothers. That was to be expected. A new 3D Mario game, which may or may not be. I'm thinking it may not be Galaxy 3 because they have a habit of kind of changing it up with each new system. And they had Zelda. Oh, no, that's for the 3DS. The Wind Waker HD, which I couldn't give a shit about.
Nor can I.
I'm sorry, it's like Zelda for me. I've tried. I can't do it.
I mean, if there is one Zelda that I would try to, you know, to showcase the power of the Wii U or whatever, it wouldn't be the most cartoonish of them all.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would honestly redo Twilight Princess.
Yeah, well, or why not just, you know, make a new Zelda game and do something new with it?
Exactly. You know? I mean, because no, but that's because the HD remakes are so great right now, so they want to do their own, yeah. I guess.
And I mean, I don't know, that's the only games I can think of off the top of my head that are definitely going to be there. Will they announce anything new? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'd like for them to. I mean, they have some really good IPs that they're just not utilizing.
They probably will.
I hope so.
I mean, they probably will. They're not going to go completely suicidal, I hope.
They
have some stuff. They're not completely stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, they did win the last generation, so they must have someone with the brain there.
But I mean...
One or two people.
They won the last generation, though, because they got the mass audience, and they don't have that.
Yeah, they got lucky.
That's the thing, though. I think that, and honestly, when I heard about this thing with Best Buy, do I think they're going to be successful? I'm not sure. What do I think their objective is? I think they're going, again, for that word-of-mouth effect that the Wii U had, which was they're going to stick this thing with a bunch of new games
the Wii, in... On the Wii U. What are you talking about?
The Wii. First, I tell about the...
You say the Wii U.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. The Wii, back in 2006, it caught on like crazy because everyone started talking about it, people that weren't gamers. And the impression I'm getting with the Wii U is that they're sticking it in 110 Best Buys to try and emulate that effect where it's all over the place, accessible to the public, people walk in, they play it, they go home, they start talking about it.
That's By the way, is 110 like. Best Buys a lot?
Like, that is a
if
lot.
I think about America... If I think about America and I think of 110 shops,
you would think, but
they don't seem many.
That is a lot. If you factor in the big cities that have about, let's say, like 5 Best Buys each, and then smaller cities across the country, it's 110 is a lot of stores across the country.
Okay.
Yeah. But the problem is too, there's still like a lot of places. You know, like me for instance, they don't have any Best Buys with the demos in Manhattan. And I know, like, a really big one
in Manhattan, really?
Yeah, there's none. Like, and then the coast, like, Long Island City. Like, I'm like, what the?
Which one
really?
In Manhattan?
Like,
what are you talking about?
There's a really big one in Union Square that they could use.
Yeah.
And that can get a lot of foot traffic. A lot of people pass there, like, every day. Mm-hmm. They get a lot of tourists, too. You know, and there's no demos. Then I'm just like, what was your planning with that? Like, are you actually really targeting the proper Best Buy? I'm not even trying it out because I can't. I'm not like going 5 hours to get to the nearest city.
Completely honestly, I don't think this thing is gonna be very effective because demos. It's not the place where you would go and play games that are not going to be released for a while. At Best Buy, people go to play the games that they can buy. They can go to the cashier and buy it right at that moment.
Exactly.
They're not gamers. Unless you expect gamers to actually go there and, you know, to play them purposely, which I don't expect because I expect their attention to be on E3. Like usually.
I mean, that's what I did before I started doing this thing. I would just stay home, get something to drink, sit in front of the computer and watch streams and catch the news.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Honestly, people watch E3 for the show factor, not even just for the games. They watch it because it's a big show, and there is no big show here.
It's a very unorthodox approach being taken by Nintendo, and
yeah,
I mean,
they seem to be kind of desperate.
Yeah. They're also showing Mario Kart, which and I'm a huge Mario Kart fan, but even I'm like, fucking
that's
enough already.
Yeah.
If it's Double Dash, I don't give a fuck. And Wii, they're making a new Wii Party for the Wii U. Who bought Wii Party?
Oh.
Who bought Wii Party?
I know.
Nintendo tried to send me a code for Game & Warrior. Told them, you know that I don't have a Wii U yet.
Oh, shoot.
And even if I had one, I wouldn't want to play Game & Warrior. Come on, it's fucking mini games. I normally am very, you know, very, I didn't tell them this, honestly. But honestly, I'm normally kind of nice about the games I review. I mean, I review games I don't care about, I don't like. It's normal. It's my job. But Game & Warrior, really? Mini games? I know. A lot of people love it. If I had a Wii U, I would have reviewed it. I admit it. But honestly, I didn't have it, so I don't have it yet. I'm actually planning to buy one, though, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to say that I'm buying it for myself, I would lie.
It's one of the, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, the way you're making it sound, it's like whenever you go to a store, you buy a whole bunch of things just to get this one little thing, you're like, that's for a friend, it's not for me.
So no, I'm buying it for work.
Yeah, it's just somebody else.
I'm buying it for work. I'm buying it for work because I need to review the games. That's the only reason why
so
I'm
like
buying
it. You like talk to the cashier,
yeah,
right?
It's like, you know.
It's for work.
Yeah.
It's not for
I have no. It's not my choice, I swear. I'm being told.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to tell you one thing, and this should show you how desperate Nintendo is at the moment. And I'm sorry, because honestly, you know that I would always like to see old consoles to be successful, because the more competition it is, the better. And exactly. the reason why there has been so much evolution in the latest generation is because there was very strong competition between all three consoles. Okay?
Yeah.
But you know, look at Japan is their home turf where they should sell the most. Okay. Last week the Wii U in Japan sold 5,600 units in the whole archipelago of Japan.
It's less than the PSP, right?
Yeah, the PSP sold 100 units more.
Oh my god! those two shouldn't even be neck and neck.
I know.
Oh my god!
And I mean, okay, it's not as bad as the Xbox 360. Okay, that 360, the C360 sold 382 units.
Yeah, but that system is fucking 8 years old.
But that's the 360.
Yeah,
The Xbox 360 in Japan, no one cares about it. But the Wii U, which is a Japanese console, which is Nintendo's console, yeah, it sold 5,000 units. While the PS3, which is a console on its way out,
7 years
it
old,
sold 13,000 units, which is almost three times as much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the console on its way out. The Vita, which everyone told, oh, the Vita's failed, whatever, 12,000.
What about the PS2? Is that still selling over there?
The PS2, no, it's not counted anymore.
Oh, that would be interesting to see if the PS2 sold more.
Well, luckily, Nintendo has the 3DS, which is the big money printer, which between 3DS LL. I mean, they sell so many 3DSs that they actually have to count them separately by model.
Yeah.
Like in the Japanese. In the Japanese charts, they have 3DS LL and 3DS separate, because otherwise the number would be too big and the chart would be boring. Like they sold. I'm actually surprised they sell so many more 3DS LL than normal 3DS, because I definitely went for the normal one. I didn't go for the 3DS LL because it's super pixelated. And it doesn't really fit in my pocket. But anyway, they sold 40,000 at LL and 14,000 3DS, like 54,000 3DS overall. That's so big that yeah. Anyway, just to go back to the Wii U, I mean,
yeah, one more.
I'm definitely not saying that Nintendo is condemned, because they have a 3DS that's basically making up for any loss they could afford selling two Wii U's a week, and in worldwide and still make a ton of money with the 3DS. Mm-hmm. You know, they could afford, you know, losing millions with the Wii U, and they probably wouldn't even belch at it. Anyway, they released the what you call it. They released the new Resident Evil Revelations.
Yeah,
the remake for the home consoles, mm-hmm. and on the PS3, it's all 102,673 copies. Okay, so 100,000 copies, nice and round. Okay, mm-hmm. on mm-hmm. the Wii U, shoot the number for the Wii U.
What's that?
And Resident Evil is a brand that is very bound to Nintendo, if you think about
yeah.
it. Right? Okay, so PS3, 100,000 units.
Okay.
Shoot a number for the Wii U.
2,500.
you try, know. Elisa.
I don't know, 10,000?
Elisa got nearer.
Oh, okay.
8,398.
Oh, no!
It's a joke at this point.
Let me just tell you one thing.
Okay. One last thing.
No, about this thing.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. With the fact that the Xbox 360 sold so few consoles, you would imagine that they sold a lot less than the Wii U, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They sold 7,000 units.
Wow.
For Xbox 360. Like, the Wii U version sold only 1,300 units more than the Xbox 360.
It's crazy.
Wow.
That's how bad it is. And Resident Evil is basically a Nintendo brand. Or it's a brand that's very, very, very strongly
Japanese, yeah.
tied up
yeah.
with Nintendo. Is. But with Nintendo, mostly, because the best Resident Evil were in the GameCube.
That's true.
So, in short, because we do have to wrap this up, basically to Microsoft, a short answer to Microsoft is you have one job, which is to get your shit together.
And Neil.
to Sony, basically we're going to say don't fuck up. And to Nintendo, we're just going to say... Good luck.
Exactly.
What can I say to Nintendo is take this good man, buy yourself a sandwich.
But yeah, so E3 is next week. But by this time next week, we'll already have a couple of conferences under our belt. We're going to have a team at E3, about five of us. And we're also going to have Joel, deputy editor. We'll be at the Dual Shockers headquarters in Staten Island, running things. So we're going to try and get a shock cast up one way or another. Stay tuned for that, with all our reactions and whatnot. But yeah, in the meantime, yes, that's what you're going to hear at the Nintendo conference. Well, no, there's no conference.
Let's not be evil. I mean, people are going to think that we hate Nintendo.
No, I don't hate Nintendo.
I would actually love nothing more than see them actually turn
things around. It's called tough love.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, before we go, what are you guys playing this week?
Ladies first.
I actually started picking up Borderlands 2 again. I don't know why. I just felt like playing it. And I'm still addicted to Fire Emblem Awakening. I don't know when I'll stop playing it. Probably never.
I don't blame you. Giuseppe?
I've been playing Batman Arkham Asylum, Batman Arkham City, and finished both. Loved them both.
Good.
Because I finally got around... Well, actually, I loved Arkham City a lot more.
No, of course.
Asylum was a little too linear for my taste, and a little too constricted, and Batman started with, like, no gadgets, which kind of sounded silly. Yeah. But, yeah. Anyway, City was awesome.
It was.
Despite a little bit of backtracking here and there, and the DLC kind of disappointed me.
Oh, what are you talking about? Harley's...
Harley's Revenge.
Oh my god, was that a piece of shit. Don't even get me started on that.
Yeah, it had really no story.
It was honestly, it had no story, and it was basically like they took stuff that they had left over. It seemed like they took stuff that was left over, they didn't put in Arkham City, mushed it together, and just made Harley Quinn's Revenge. Which...
Yeah, the only thing that's good is the voice actress of Harley that really does a good job. And...
Tara Strong. She's really good.
Yeah. She does a really good job, and that was the only good thing, basically. Yeah. I mean, Arkham City was an awesome story, and it deserved a little more, honestly. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of things that I really was disappointed that they weren't finished in the story, like they didn't finish the part with Ezrael. And
That seemed more like a teaser for
For some DLC, I guess, but the DLC never came out.
I think not even for DLC. I think that was teasing just like the next game. But you would think it was going to be a sequel.
The next game's going to be a
sequel. No, that's what I'm saying. I think at one point they wanted to make a sequel. I think it was like, in case we make a sequel, we have Azrael, you know, with this really ominous comment.
Marth Furter investigation of the Batcave. When? Where?
Yeah.
I mean, I had to actually Google it because I was fucking looking for this fucking Batcave.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, and then I've been playing a lot of Animal Crossing New Leaf. I'm writing the review like right this moment. It should be out tomorrow, and so it should be already out by when the shortcast is out, or should be coming out in a few minutes.
All right.
But mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty good game. Well, actually, very good game. Not my genre, I guess, or better, not my version of the genre, because I love simulation games. But I don't so much love like cutesy little kiddish games. But still, it's a very, very, very solid game. And the only problem is that there is a little bit of grinding. You can cheat because it's in real time, like all Animal Crossings.
Mm.
So to make things happen, you actually have to wait days to pass. So I'm basically changing the date of the 3DS to make things go faster. But yeah, that's it. And a little bit of Fire Emblem as well.
Okay, I'm just playing games on my phone. It's funny, I've been doing this
Candy Crush
writing, huh? Oh, Candy Crush.
Candy
I can't Crush. Even say it anymore. Yeah,
you're not a gamer.
I know.
I'm going to take your gamer card right now.
No, like the funny thing is that
you're fired.
I've been doing this whole writing about games thing for a year now, and it's like I have less time to play games. It's ridiculous. That's fine. That's fine. I'll definitely accept that. I just got Remember Me in the mail today, so I'll probably try and get like an hour of that in before I get on the plane tomorrow. And yeah.
What?
So that's the shotcast.
Wait. Why is Exceed Games tweeting about Valkyria Chronicles 3?
I don't know.
I know it's Valhalla Knight 3. Fuck okay. You. Sorry. I seen VK 3. And I thought, for some reason, I read VC3.
Lost your fucking mind, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, yes, fuck yes! And sorry. That was kind of...
So
damn you, Sega.
That was the Shotcast, episode 134.
Why were you saying that was the shit?
That was the shit, yeah. I'm David Rodriguez, and with me was our news editor, Giuseppe Nelva.
Bye, everyone.
And our staff writer, Alyssa James.
Take care, guys.
All right. See you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.